WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
When We Were Kings won an Oscar last night for Best Documentary. It's about the legendary 1974 fight in Zaire for the heavyweight title between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. Commentator Gerald Early is a big fan of boxing and wrote about it in his book The Culture of Bruising. Early says the film left him with a lot of unanswered questions.
When Muhammad Ali defeated George Foreman and regained the heavyweight championship, I was a miserable 22-year-old law student at the University of Pennsylvania. I was the only one among my circle of friends who thought he would win, and I was deliriously happy, happier than I'd ever been about the outcome of any boxing match, indeed any sporting event. As I watched Leon Gass' documentary, When We Were Kings, it occurred to me that that fight was the last time, for a long time, that I was ever happy to see Ali. After that, Ali became by stages irritating, irrelevant, a worn-out parody of himself, and finally tragic. The image of the palsied Ali at the 1996 Olympics horrified us who lived through those Ali years of the 1960s and the 1970s. We could remember the brash, handsome, bragging boxer with lightning hands and a poet's tongue who predicted knockouts, belittled his opponents, defiantly joined the Nation of Islam, proclaimed the white man to be a devil, and refused to be drafted by the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War. Ali brought together the elements of rebellion, innovation, exaggeration, childishness, and sacrifice that characterized the 60s better than virtually anyone else of that era. But like the era, Ali was a man of contradictions, the black nationalist who cruelly denigrated his black opponents, a man whose humility was fed by large doses of public adulation, an essentially religious man trapped in reciting politics. This brings me to the unsatisfying When We Were Kings. Between 1964, when Ali won the heavyweight championship from Sonny Liston, and 1974, when he regained it from George Foreman, the fighter had gone through a number of changes. Tremendous white public disapproval, a 3.5-year ban from boxing, the loss of the championship to Joe Frazier in a brutal fight, his lackluster performances against Ken Norton, who broke his jaw. Ali was, in 1974, the picture of a great fighter over the hill. But Ali had grown immeasurably. As a result of his exposure to white college campuses, he was less the doctrinaire black Muslim. He always had a winning sense of humor, boyish charm, an ability to laugh at himself and not take himself too seriously, qualities other black Muslims and black militants lacked. That enabled him to win over younger whites. But in looking back at the Foreman fight, Ali's redemption seems a minor part of what happened. What about the inherent absurdity of having a Pan-African event that featured two black Americans in an African country beating each other up as a form of entertainment? What about the absurdity of an African dictator putting up $10 million for an event that would do his countrymen no good at all? Or his absolute lack of imagination in thinking that it would? And how did the ordinary people of Zaire really feel about the fight? How did the press in Zaire cover it? How did the people in Zaire live in 1974? What kind of place was it? Who worked in those tall buildings in Kinshasa? How did the average person in Zaire feel about Islam? These questions go unanswered in this film. Zaire is just something exotic and strange. This misbegotten prize fight shows the distance between Africans and black Americans and how quixotic or opportunistic Pan-Africanism can often wind up being. The tragedy behind the political pretensions of the event is veiled by Ali's heroism. 4 years ago, I spent 2 days in the company of Muhammad Ali. What I remember most is how patiently he signed autographs for long lines of people, despite the fact that writing was a difficult physical act for him, laborious and slow. He smiled and joked. He would not stop until everyone had something signed. In this small gesture, he seemed heroic, dignified, even transcendent, the prince of our realm. It was the first time since 1974 that the sight of him made me unbearably happy.
I'm gonna fight for the prestige, not for me, but to uplift my little brothers who are sleeping in concrete floors today in America. Black people who are living on welfare, black people who can't eat, black people who don't know no knowledge of themselves, black people who don't have no future. I want to win my title and walk down the alley, settle the garbage can with the wine.
Gerald Early teaches literature and directs the Department of African and Afro-American Studies at Washington University in St. Louis.